Hebrews 12. Let's go over to Hebrews 12. We've been talking about our race. This has been the verse we've been on. Hebrews 12. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is good. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it's on your sheet as well. We'll read it in the New King James Version. We'll read it in the New Living Translation as well. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy who was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look on your sheet there in the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So notice in verse 1 in the New King James, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Notice it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Let who?
Us.
God, take this away from me. That's not what he said to do. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. They didn't tell you just to do it in your power. In your strength, we have other scripture that we live this life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I can do nothing in and of myself. Well, Jesus couldn't do it in and of himself. What about you and me? Are we supposed to do it all by ourselves? No, that's why we have the helper. I said, that's why we have the helper, the comforter. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn over to John 16, just for a moment. Thank God for the helper. Thank God for the helper. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go to chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. It says, let's go to verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. But he didn't stop there. Let me ask you a question. If you're keeping his commandments, are you laying aside every weight that would ensnare you? Are you? Let me ask that again. Okay. We just read in Hebrews that we should lay aside weights, that we should lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. Well, let me ask you a question. Here he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep his commandments, are you by definition laying aside weights and laying aside sin? Are his commandments sin? No. If you're doing his commandments, you're avoiding sin, right? You're avoiding weights. Let me ask you a question. If you're doing his commandments, are you are you doing things that would add weight to you? No. His commandments are right. His commandments are true. I encourage you, go read Psalm 119 over and over. It says, your word is pure. Your word is light. Your word is a lamp. His commandments are right and true. As we do what we see in the Word, we are going to be living the best life possible on this earth. Amen. There is no plan that's better than His plan. There is no way. Nobody's going to come up with a better way than God's way. God is the Creator, regardless of what people say. They're just ignorant or they're deceived. He is the Creator. He did wind this whole thing up, and He does know the right way to live. And men's ideas, trying to get, well, we're enlightened now. We know better. No, you don't. You're deceived. And that's a sad state when people think they're enlightened, but they're actually deceived. Well, we know more now. You know, poor people long ago, like the people that wrote the Bible, just didn't know like we know. So we're enlightened, when in actually, you're darker than ever. That's a bad place to be. That's where a lot of people are. They think they have knowledge. They don't have wisdom. And their knowledge is not complete either. They have help in believing the wrong thing. Don't be deceived. They have help. Spiritual realm is real. And the demons are deceivers. The devil is the father of lies. And he will push things that sound logical to certain people, but they contradict the word and they're false. And they will be proven to be false. And people will be hurt and people will be in pain because they believe lies. Amen. People will fight for the right to do things that will ultimately hurt them. There are laws in this country that allow you to do things that you will live to regret. Amen. But what does it say? If you love me, keep my commandments. But thank God he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. He'll give you another helper. That he may abide with you forever. That word means comforter. Means a lot of other things. The one, and what it really means is one that comes alongside to help. Advocate. Counselor. Has many different nuances, but what it means is somebody that comes alongside you to help you. Paraclete is the word. Says, I'll send you another helper. So I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The Spirit of the living God. He said, keep my commandments, and then he turned around and said, and I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you another helper. Jesus was a helper on the earth, but he could only be in one place at one time. But the Bible says he's going to give another helper. That's another one like. He's going to give somebody like himself, his very spirit, coming into the earth, to be a helper, to be alongside you, to be alongside me, to be at your job, sitting with you, to be in the classroom, to be at home, taking care of certain things that you need to take care of, to be with you in the car on the way to work, to be with you when you're on the job and people are saying stuff that they shouldn't say. You think God just runs away from that, doesn't have a clue? Oh, well, no, they cussed. God knows it. He can handle it. We can handle it. We're not supposed to go and run away and say, I just wish everybody was Christians. If they were, we'd be in heaven. I just wish people were more godly. Well, you're the light. If you leave, what are they going to do? It's just dark there. Guys, we're in this world and it is dark. It's getting darker, but it's also getting lighter. Yeah, the world sins. They do stupid stuff. Good night. I worked on a construction crew. Every other word, something you don't want to hear. But you know what? God doesn't fall off the throne. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, but they're ignorant. Or they're running. But they know you're different. But we're not in it alone. We're with God Almighty. God Almighty is with us. It says that Jesus said he would send another, that the Father would send another helper to help us with this junk here on this earth, to help us walk through certain things that would try to tempt us, that would cause us pain. We can overcome because of the helper, because of the comforter. That's the only way you can walk this life, is by his help. Nobody said we're supposed to do it alone. See, religion will try to bind you, tell you to do stuff, and give you no help in doing it. But the gospel will set you free. The gospel will tell you what to do and give you the help to do it. Now, it's not the gospel to say, well, it doesn't matter what you do. That's a poor substitution for the true gospel. Here's why. If you come up against things that are in the world or against your things that habits, ways of thinking, you come up against them and you've tried to get past it in your own strength, condemnation will be at the door when you fail. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've done it and you thought you had the best of intentions and you fell. You didn't do it right. Condemnation wants to say you're not going to get it done. You've tried, you won't get over it. And one way of then trying to deal with this, trying to cope with this, is that, and it's a deception, people will start saying, well, it doesn't matter what you do. It's okay, God understands, but just walk through it anyway. What that's saying, see, that's a substitution. It's not even, I was going to say it's like brass for the gold, but it's not even. It's actually saying you have to live with that, but it's okay, you can live with that. And it's like it's God's problem. God will still love you. It has nothing to do with that. So let it stay, and he's not going to be mad at you. Well, he's not mad at you to begin with. He knows where you're at. See, it's based on a bad assumption, a bad supposition, as if God's the problem. See, it's not God. God sent his son before you were ever born to deal with sin. He's already dealt with it, and he doesn't fall off his throne. When are you talking about weights and things in our lives? We want gone, but we don't see how. And if you try to do it in your own strength, you're going to bump up against that wall over and over. You know what people do? They end up running away from God because they give into the condemnation when they miss it, when they try, when they say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to get over this, and then they fail. They feel like there's no way they can go forward, and they associate that feeling of failure with God. Because I'm supposed to do right, and I can't see how to do it, and so people will run away, people will feel condemned, people will shy away from God, they won't read their Bible. And all the while, Jesus said right here, he would send another helper. Why? To get us over the hump that we don't look to ourselves. We look to the mighty God who created the heavens and the earth, who created mankind, he gave commandments and said, you're not to do this in and of yourselves. You're to let me help you. And by his power, that's the way you lay aside this stuff. That's the way you come up to where you are walking over the problem instead of it having dominion over you. Through the helper. With the comforter's help. The answer is not to close your eyes and say, well, it doesn't matter if I do this or not. It doesn't matter if whether it's something that's against his commands or, like we've talked about, something that will slow you down and hinder you. If it's something that's taking away from your life and you want to get it out and it's godly to remove it, you feel like it's God, then God will help you do it if we'll look to him. It's a substitution to feel like you have to settle and say, you know, I guess for some people it's okay, but I've dealt with this since I was 5 years old or since I was 3 years old. Before I even knew what was going on, this got into me, and I just guess I just have to deal with it. God just loved me where I am. He does love us. He loves us more than we'll ever know, and he's not trying to beat us up, but there's a higher way to say, God, if you said it, I can do it. I will overcome, but with your strength. And you'll love me through it, and as I'm walking through it, this is the godly way to approach it. When you're walking through it, as you're going through it, you believe God that he's going to help you. And if you stumble, you get up and know that God is right there. He did not run away. He's not surprised. You know God has seen everything on the earth. Does it please him when men miss it? It doesn't please him. It doesn't surprise him either. He knows. We're dust. Do you understand God knows what we're made of? He knows what we're up against because Jesus walked on this earth. Do you understand he knows the temptations? He just was without sin. But he understands. But saying he understands and then leaving you there is not the answer. Well, he understands, but it's okay. Just go on because you can't help it. That's being defeated. That's saying you just go ahead. God understands and you just keep doing it because, you know, You unfortunately have to deal with this. You're not good enough, in other words, to be delivered and to walk free. That's what that's saying. That's what that doctrine is saying. What you're saying, it's a doctrine of defeat. It's not a doctrine of victory. It's not a doctrine saying, you can come up. There's God Almighty lives inside of you. He's a helper. And if you'll look to him, he'll help you over. He'll get up and over and through and around or whatever till that thing is in your rearview mirror and you are shouting the victory. That is not too good to be true. Did you hear me? That's for somebody. Because when I said that, somebody was just like, well, if only. No. No, that is for every person. We do not have to stay in a place of defeat. God Almighty has a way. He knows how stuff got put in place, and he knows how to dismantle it by the power of his Spirit. Amen. It says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you. How long? Until you mess up, then he's gone. Well, that would be funny. I mean, that would be silly. He's only a helper if you're doing everything right. Well, you don't need a helper. Huh? If you already got it made, you don't need a helper. Hey, can I help you clean up the kitchen? Oh, it's already clean. What do you need a helper for? You don't need help. You know, sometimes, never mind. Sometimes it's a convenient time. Hey, everything's done. Can I help? We have Jesus. He knows what we need, and He knows when we need it. We need help when we need help, not after we need help. I really need help here. Well, get out of your situation, then I'll help you. Once you whip that thing, then you're qualified for me to be in your life. See, that's what some people think. That's why some people won't come to church. You know it? Because they don't think they're good enough to come to church. That's a contradiction. That's like saying you got to be clean before you take a bath. Well, you know, I take a bath. You need a bath. No, but I'm not clean enough. Once I get clean, then I'll take a bath. Well, that's the point of taking a bath or a shower or whatever. Well, I just don't feel clean enough to take a shower. Okay. If somebody said that to you, you would pause. That's the point of taking a shower, is to get clean. Well, I don't feel clean enough. I don't feel holy enough to come to church. We ought to have the same reaction. That's the point of coming to church. So the Holy Spirit, through the washing of the water by the Word, can get us cleaned up. You know that's how it happens. You know there's impartations into our heart, into our spirit, that give us the strength to overcome the junk that's in this world. And some people are staying away going, no, I'm not qualified. I can't. Once I get it cleaned up, then I'll come to church. No. We go before Jesus just as we are. Not supposed to stay that way. He said, yeah, just as we are. That doesn't mean we just stay here and can't do anything. We come to Him as we are, and we come up as He helps us. But we come into His presence before His Word so that we can get illumination, so that we can get strength, so that we can know that the power of the living God is available to help us come in and go over every challenge of life. Everyone. Which one can't God handle? Which problem is God at a loss? When you tell Him, you say, I don't know how to handle that one. I've been thinking about that for millennia. I still haven't figured it out. And it's just gotten worse in the 2000s. You guys have just messed everything up. I have no clue how to fix this. Don't bother me about that. Now, what else you have? Huh? Does that sound like the Almighty? Do you think He ever, when somebody is telling Him their problem, He starts to have a worried look on His face? Ugh. I don't know about this. Michael? You ever heard of this? I don't know. Don't know what we're going to do about this. Peter, when you were down there, you ever see this? He knows everything. And He knows the way over everything. And He said He'd help. He said He'd help. Hallelujah. We have a helper. Now. Somebody needs to say that. Say, I have a helper.
I have a helper.
I have a helper.
I have a helper.
Right now. See, the devil will tell you, oh, poor you. You don't have a prayer. You can't do it. You've tried. Bless your heart. You've tried. God knows you've tried. You've tried to do the Word. You've tried. You've tried. You've done everything you know to do, but it just hasn't been enough. And it probably will never be enough. You'll probably never get over it. God loves you, but He's certainly not pleased with you. It's okay. That's the devil. Did you hear me? That's the devil. That's not how the Spirit of God talks. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of victory. He says, we're coming over. We'll get through this. Don't let that hiccup throw you. Get back up, daughter. Get back up, son. Keep going. You're coming over. The helper will help you. We got to let Him help us. Hallelujah. He's a helper right now. Well,
I hear you. I'm going to go back and I'm going to get in the Bible and read real hard. Let's see if I can get it. Maybe over the next few weeks I can get it. No. Now. Now. Let him help us now. He's a helper right now. Yeah, but I feel so bad about it. If I get this part, amen. I hear what you're saying, but when I get this part done, then I'm in a position, then I can start moving forward. No. No. God wants to be involved in every place now. He knows the hard places, and he's not surprised. I mean, well, you know, we wouldn't talk about certain things in church. Just read the Bible. It talks about every area. Huh? Well, that's embarrassing to talk about. It talks about it in the Bible. God's not a prude. He's holy, but he is not surprised with men and women's junk that they've been infected with because of the condition of the human race. It's called sin. He understands. And he knows how to rip it apart and tear it out of your life and make it so that you stand on top of it. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a God of power. He knows everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Spirit of truth, the verse 17 says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, the world tries to do it on its own. It doesn't understand what we're talking about here. It's trying to figure it out with their little brains. And I don't mean that to mean, I mean that relative to God Almighty. Don't matter how many letters they have behind their name, they don't have the capacity of the Creator. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot, doesn't seem won't, they cannot. You can't receive the Holy Spirit, this help, without being in the family. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. That's the day we live in. He's in us. He's not far off. He's not next door. He's not somewhere you have to get an appointment after 5 months, you know, because it's so packed. He is in us. Now, it says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Somebody say, I am not an orphan.
I am not an orphan.
Amen. Glory to God. See, some people think what we believe is a sign of weakness. We just don't understand. We don't have enough stability. So we have to use the crutch of the Word of God. That's pride. Poor ignorant people. Don't know any better, don't have enough education. So we have to believe in an unseen person that lives in the sky and believe he's helping us. Number one, it's blasphemy. Number two, it's just ignorance. And it's pride. You and I were created to rely on the Creator. And anything else is a substitute for the life that He has for us. Your life won't be as full as it ought to be without Him. Your marriage won't be as full without Him. Relationship with your kids won't be as full without Him.
your fulfillment in just what you do. Well, I'm going to figure out what I want to do, and that'll make me happy, maybe for a season, but ultimately, unless you do what He's called you to do, you won't be as fulfilled, because we were created for a purpose. Every person is going to have to come to terms with their God, the one and only true God. It's going to be now, it's going to be sometime in their life, or it's going to be when they come face to face with Him. But whether they say He doesn't exist, whether they say it doesn't matter, we will all have to reckon with Almighty, and we will give an account. And His way is the best way. We were made to do what He would have us to do. We were created to be fulfilled that way, and anything else is a cheap substitute. And we won't live the fulfilled. I didn't say you couldn't have quote unquote what the world calls success in different areas, but ultimately, look at the heartache. People that seemingly have quote unquote everything are then divorced, are committing suicide. Like, you know, people that have millions of dollars, have fame, fortune, have a wife that from the world standards would say, oh, that's just perfect, and then they're divorced. You got to see there's more to it than what we see. There has to be, right? God Almighty has created us to know Him. And we're made, what did we just read? Jesus said that He would send a helper. Well, that would mean we need help. Well, I don't need any help. I'm just beyond that. Well, no, we're arrogant then. If God says, I'm sending you an helper, and you said, no, thank you. If God said, I'm sending you a helper, the correct response is not, I don't need any help. If God says we need help, then whether you think you need help or not, the correct answer is, thank you, sir. How can you, let me go to see how I need help. What do I need to change? Well, no, your flesh will tell you, well, I figured it all out. I got this pretty much under control. That's pride. I'm not saying you have to be running around like a chicken with your head cut off and don't know anything. No, but you still need help. I need help. It's okay to need help. Did you know it? Do you know we're supposed to need help? Did I lose somebody? Well, you know, only in my weak moment. No. Only when, you know, I'm really up again, then I'll need help, then I'll go back to being cool. It's all good. How you doing? I'm fine. Praise God. You need help every single day. I need help every single day. And you know what? It's awesome. If we can get up and say, God, I don't know what is coming this day, but You do. Give me wisdom. Give me help. Show me what to do. Show me how to move. Show me how to do what I need to do. Help me to get through it. And I'm believing You that I'm going to get everything done today that I need to get done. I need Your help. And to live right with Him, alongside Him, relying on the helper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead and just, those that you that are filled with the Holy Spirit that speak in tongues, go ahead and just pray in tongues for a moment. Thank You, Lord. If you don't, speak to somebody after, either myself, Shelley, or I can put you in contact with somebody else, but you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But just those of you that do, just pray in tongues for a moment. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. There, those of you that know, if you know and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you haven't been utilizing that, if you know and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to me now. This is a time to listen. It's not a time to pray. If you know about being filled with the Holy Spirit, He is called your helper. Part of the way He's going to help you is by yielding to Him when you don't know what to do. When you've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried to defeat something in yourself, and you've even looked to Him, but you don't know, and you're saying, well, I don't know what to do. One of my instructors said, when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. You start speaking in other tongues. This is not a secondary thing. This is not a religious exercise. This is the power of Almighty God. There's a reason He's inside of you. He knows what you don't know. The reason you are baptized in the Holy Spirit is to receive power on high to navigate this world. It is not a Pentecostal in the terms of a doctrine experience. It is Pentecostal in the Bible. That what that means is it's not optional. It is there for us to yield to. When you're yielding to the when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive a language that is unknown to you. It is not unknown to God. You are speaking something that your mind doesn't know. But the Holy Spirit, if you'll yield to Him, is speaking truth through you into this world, and you can get direction and guidance through it. He can show you what He needs to. But when your mind doesn't know what to pray, when you have exhausted your mental faculties, you need, and you don't have to wait till then, but you need to pray in other tongues about situations, and God will illuminate your mind. He'll give you direction. It can be through an idea. It can be through a picture. It can be through words. He's not limited, but if you don't know what to do about a situation, if you've struggled about the situation, start praying in tongues about it. That's why the enemy has tried to squelch this, try to squash it in the earth, try to make it weird, trying to make it something that only certain people do as a Christian. Jesus told the disciples, you don't leave. You don't go out and start preaching until you've received power from on high. This is not an optional thing. I mean, yes, people can reject it, and there are whole segments of Christianity that disregard it, but that it's biblical. And when we're talking about today, as you run your race, as you are looking, you have things in your life that you don't know how to overcome, pray in the Spirit about it. The Bible says that as the one that speaks another tongue speaks mysteries, prays mysteries, that you're building yourself up in your most holy faith, that you're praying out the plan of God for your life. Pray. Pray in other tongues. Again, you don't know what you're saying, maybe, but God can illuminate your mind. But the Spirit is praying what He needs to pray through you for your situation so that you can conquer. He's praying the perfect will of God for you in your life. That, and it bypasses your limited mental faculties. When you don't know what to do for somebody, pray in the Spirit for them. When you don't know how to help that person, pray in the Spirit for them. God does. God knows what to do. When you don't know how to overcome that thing, pray in tongues about it. Spend time. This is a weapon, which is why it's been attacked, which is why it's mocked by ignorant people. The enemy knows that if he can squelch it, he just took out a major avenue that can be used to get things, conquer things in people's lives. Because it's bypassing our limited understanding and letting the Spirit of God, the Helper, the Comforter, do what He needs to do and work out things in our lives. This is a major way that we're helped. But some of us, we've known, but we've laid it aside. And we don't know, and we're struggling, and we're having stuff, and all the while, what we need to do, it's simple. He's our helper. This is one of the, I didn't say this is the only way, but this has to be active. Pick it up and start exercising it. Pick it up and start applying it to what you're dealing with right now. Pick it up and start letting Him flow through you. Your flesh will rebel. Your mind will say, this is stupid. The enemy will accommodate you. Say, this is dumb. Why are you doing that? Your flesh will say, I don't want to do that. You are yielding to the Spirit of God. By just yielding, you are already yielding to God. And you're yielding to what He wants to do. And the help, the strength that some people are desiring is coming through that. Answers will come through. Decisions. A picture. This is what we ought to do. I see it now. This is what we ought to do. It can just become a flash. God doesn't have to, you know, you've heard the expression, a picture is worth 1,000 words, but you don't think God knows that? I've had that habit. We just see what's going to happen, what way things are going to go. You pray about it, now you see it, and you're just like, that's it. And it may take a while to articulate in words, but you see it in a flash. Your spirit, you say, that's what we need to do. This is how it needs to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.